According to the latest numbers, not much oomph in the housing market.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Sales of new single-family homes were flat last month, and the supply of houses on the market reached a 42-year low. Earlier this week, we heard builders were starting more new homes, but most of those were multifamily, as in apartments, not single-family. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live from New York to tell us what's going on. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
So what is going on in the housing market?
Well, I hate to say this, but it's hard to know. It's certainly better than it was, say, last year, but it's certainly not in great shape either. I talked to Sam Chandon this morning. He's chief economist at Real Analytics, which is a real estate research firm. He says people are still scared.
Americans are still seeing that the outlook for the economy is fairly weak. We're certainly not creating jobs in a way that would allow people to make the transition from renting to home ownership.
He also made the point that, yes, mortgage rates are unbelievably low. But since it seems like housing prices are going to stay low for a while, too, nobody's in a big hurry to buy.
Now, is that a long-term trend, Elisa? I mean, are Americans moving away from home ownership?
You know, it's really still too early to say. Sam Chandon, for one, doesn't think so.
At this point, there's very little evidence to suggest that the bias towards home ownership has shifted towards renting for the long term in a way that will ultimately change the way in which Americans think about wanting to become homeowners.
But I think we'll have to wait until the economy gets better, till people feel more sure to see if they really stay away from home ownership permanently.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth reporting from New York. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, anywhere from 1% to 2%. The S&P and NASDAQ each up about 1.8%. Dow now higher about 1.5%. 169 points, 10,831. European shares were off. I should say they rose today as well. Everybody, markets seem to be inspired by some better-than-expected manufacturing numbers. Orders for durable goods, excluding aircraft and cars, rose 2% in August. The documentary about education reform, Waiting for Superman, opens in New York and L.A. Oprah is spending another hour on the topic, and next week NBC is hosting a big education summit. So why all the education reform talk? From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
At a press conference this week, the head of NBC News, Steve Kappas, explained why the network is devoting a week of programming and events to education.
At the end of the day, the media, all of us, don't give education nearly the coverage that it deserves.
Or maybe didn't. Next month, the Reverend Al Sharpton launches a new TV show about education. A new reality show, School Pride, debuts on NBC. It's a sort of extreme makeover for schools. But will advertisers line up to pay for all this coverage? Media analyst Gary Arlen says they might.
American corporations, who are obviously the sponsors of any kind of programming, are really concerned about education because they can't find qualified workers.
And they're not above hitching their wagons to a hot issue. This week, the Conference Board, a business group, announced it's putting out a discussion guide for companies inspired by Waiting for Superman. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
The price of cotton is at its highest level in 15 years. It closed above $1 a pound this week. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson tells us why.
Cotton prices are up not because of anything happening here in the U.S., but because of bad weather in two of the largest cotton-producing countries, China and Pakistan.
When I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is look at Indian weather, China weather, then I look at U.S. weather.
Sharon Johnson is a cotton analyst with First Capital Group in Atlanta. She says back in November of 2008,
prices got below 40 cents as the worst of the recession hit, and here we are less than 2 years, and we've nearly tripled in price.
She says we're also seeing some of the highest demand ever for cotton, mostly from fast-growing developing countries. She calls it a cotton bubble that could soon burst, leaving farmers wondering what to plant.
A lot of producers may find it difficult to handle these kind of price swings and may be able to maintain a position.
One of them is Tim Lucky, a fourth-generation cotton farmer in Milan, Tennessee.
When my father was farming, the price of corn or cotton didn't fluctuate 4 or 5 cents a year. Now, cotton will fluctuate 3 cents a day.
Some blame speculators for the quick rise in price. Jeffrey Christian is managing director of the commodity research firm CPM Group. He says big investors have thrown a lot of money into cotton in recent years.
That's relatively easier in gold, but when you start getting into smaller markets like cotton or coffee or cocoa, it takes very little shift in investment money into these markets to drive the price sharply higher.
What does all this mean for consumers? Well, that $10 T-shirt may soon cost $12.
In the T-shirts and the underwear and the lower cost cotton garments, I believe you're already seeing the impact of higher cotton prices.
Perhaps it's time for polyester to make a comeback. Sharon Johnson says her husband might still have his old leisure suit in the back of his closet.
We might have to have it refitted just a bit.
I say go for it. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Nothing like a little disco to wrap up the work week. And finally, a week's worth of business news and a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
The people who have the profession of declaring we're out of recession waited more than a year to sound the all clear. Tinker's Dam, is that the expression? Blockbuster's finally going bust. After years of eating Netflix dust, they acknowledge their business model was wrong. Let's charge them a late fee for waiting so long. The FDA has begun to examine the worth of genetically modified salmon. Is it a cynical industry scam and a threat or a way to alleviate famine? And Colin Powell says, let's not grouse about illegal workers. They fix my house. I mean, houses of people other than me. That story is at marketplace.org.
Marketplace is Bill Radke. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.